Well, good morning, people of Hopewell. This is our Resurrection Sunday worship service. We're here in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're here to worship Him this morning. Normally I start the service off with announcements, but again, unfortunately, we don't have any announcements other than our continuing online worship. After we begin here in just a moment, we're going to be looking in the book of Ephesians, so you can turn there later, but we'll be back in the book of Ephesians today. But this morning, we want to take a moment to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to take a moment to thank God for salvation. This is Resurrection Sunday. It's very odd not to be able to be gathered together on the celebration of the resurrection, but together through the digital means, we're able to gather as the body of Christ, as Christians are doing all over the world right now. Whether or not we're together physically, we are together by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is the way that we are joined together as believers. And so this morning we worship Him. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We celebrate the resurrection. If you were here, I would say, He is risen. And I would hear you say, He is risen indeed. And this morning, let's turn to Him and worship. So if you... In your bulletin, I've sent out to most of you, it's available on the web. I've also sent out the worship guide. Our call to worship this morning is from the book of 1 Corinthians. So hear the call to worship. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God's word for us. And let me open us in prayer this morning. God, we come into your presence. You are the God on high. You are the Ancient of Days, from everlasting to everlasting. In the name of Jesus, we come before you. We're always mindful of the love of Jesus, which he poured out to death for us. We're always mindful of the resurrection of Christ, who has given us new life. As the book of Revelation says, blessing and honor and power and glory be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. We'll begin our time of worship by song, by singing, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And again, these words are available in the document I sent out, but also on the Hopewell/videos page. I have links to all of the items that you could use for the worship service, including these songs.
Of glory made.
Amen. Our Old Testament reading is drawn from Psalm 16. This is, of course, the words of our Lord. All the Psalms are for believers, but before they were for us, they were the words of our Savior. Ironically, it's words that were written before he was born in his humanity, but they were words that he preserved for us, that he wrote for us before his birth. Because he is the Son of God, the everlasting one. He is God himself. These prayers that we see, these Psalms that we see in the Psalms are not only of David, they are of the Savior Jesus. Hear God's word this morning. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God's word for us today, those words especially from verse 10, that Jesus would be written about Christ, that he would not abandon his soul to Sheol or let the Holy One see corruption. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord today. It's now time for us to turn to the Lord for a time of prayer. We take a moment to adore our God, a moment for adoration. We take a moment to confess our sins, to bring our petitions before him, and our thanks to him. Let's pray. God, we come into your presence again. Oftentimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. We pray that your Holy Spirit will help us in our weakness and intercede for us. We ask that you would pour upon us the spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, the spirit of adoption that teaches us to cry out, Abba, Father. Help us to pray that we would pray in according to the Spirit, that you would send your light and your truth to us. Lead us in the way that we should go, Lord. Open our lips and our mouths will declare your praise. Lord, we know that you are one who is to be sanctified, and we pray that we would do so. We worship you as the King. Lord, we glorify your name. You are the great God. There is none like you. As Psalm 16 says, we are not going to worship false gods. We worship the one true God. We lift your name on high today. Now, Lord, we want to take a moment to confess our sins to you. The reality is that believers in Christ, though they have been washed in the blood and though they've been forgiven, they've been redeemed. We deal with sin in this body. We live in a world of sin and a body of flesh. And so, Lord, we confess this to you, that we are not the people we always should be. We thank you that you are a God of great patience and forbearance. Lord, that you don't hold us to account immediately. So often, even believers sin in such ways, Lord, that we deserve your punishment, and yet your grace is there for us. The sentence is not executed speedily. You give us time to repent. And Lord, for that, we're thankful. And so we repent right now. We take advantage of your mercy. We take advantage of your grace to use it in that sense. We say, Lord, yes, thank you for your patience. Forgive us. Forgive us for the things that we've done, for the things that we've thought, and things we've said. Lord, forgive us for the wickedness of our hearts, for the things that are displeasing to you, for the fact that we don't obey your word. We know exactly what we're to do. Your word is very clear. And yet, Lord, so often we don't do it. And so we ask you to wash us and forgive us. We know that the blood of Christ is our only hope. It's because of Jesus and his shed blood that we can stand before you and ask for forgiveness and then have confidence that we are forgiven. We have no righteousness in ourselves, only the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us. That is where our hope lies. Thank you that you forgive us. Now, Lord, I ask you that you would deliver us from every kind of evil deed and bring us safely to your kingdom of heaven. We know that this world is full of things that would harm us and destroy us, and we pray that you'll protect us. As Jesus prayed, lead us not into temptation. Lord, deliver us from wickedness. Deliver us from evil. Help us to be blameless at the coming of Christ, that our lives would be found holy, that we would be servants who are watching and waiting, that we wouldn't be the kind of servants that get lazy. Help us to be faithful servants. Help us to increase and abound in love for one another, Lord, especially in these times when it's so difficult to be with people. Let our love grow strong for people. Help us to be established and be blameless before you. Lord, we pray that you would build us up. Grow us in the love of God. Help us to trust in Christ. Help us to look forward to the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to continue to call on your name as long as we shall live and until the day that we die. Let us never put away our integrity from us. Lord, let us walk in righteousness because of our Savior. We beg for you to help us to be the people we should be. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you have transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, all by your grace. We thank you that you have called us to fellowship with Christ, that you've brought us near by his blood. Lord, we were not your friends. We were your enemies, but you've made us into children. And we give you the glory, Lord. We have nothing to offer. We had nothing to offer, and we have nothing to give you. Thank you that you accept us as we are. We thank you, God, for the gospel that came to us, for the word of God, for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love. Lord, we praise and worship you. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are suffering this morning. I know that there's some amongst our body that are sick and that are hurting. We pray especially for Mickey, who had an eye injury this week. And so we pray for Mickey Bolas that you would give him quick healing to his eye. Lord, I pray for those who might be suffering with various kinds of sicknesses. There's people that have surgeries that need to be done. They've had to put them off for an indefinite period of time, and they're suffering because of that. And so I pray for those who are in that situation. I pray for a friend who has a mother that has COVID-19. I pray for her to be well, Lord, that you would bring healing to her body, that you would be with my friend and help him in this time as he has to see his mother have this sickness. I pray for that situation. Lord, I pray for your church as we gather together in such odd ways, in such a weird time that we live. May the church be strong. May we show forth the love of Christ in all that we do. Let the witness of the gospel go forth. Lord, I pray for the needs of the people that are represented, that are listening. Lord, there's financial needs, there's physical needs, there's spiritual needs. We need you, Lord. We need you desperately. We trust you. We know that you're in charge of all that's happening and all that's going on. We don't despair as the world despairs. We don't go crazy as the world goes crazy. We trust in our Lord. We trust in who you are and what you're doing. We know that this will all bring glory to you. It is for your benefit. It's for our good. And so, Lord, I pray for your blessings upon the people of Hopewell and for those that are connected to us in this digital world, your blessings and your protection upon them from this sickness. And we do pray for those who are working, doctors and nurses. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for your mercy upon those around the world who are suffering with this sickness. Lord, we pray for these ministries that we support. I know that even their lives are messed up. We pray for Roddy and Becky with their work with the deaf. We pray for Michael and Tricia Lee and for Kevin and Jan Rutledge. Both bound here in the States at the moment and unable to get back to their respective places of service. So we pray for your blessings in their lives and in their ministry fields where they've had to leave. We pray for those believers that are there in Germany and the ones in Panama. We pray for all these ministries, for Hope House and for RUF and for Palmetto Women's Center. Lord, all of these ministries that we support, would your hand be upon them? Continue to meet their needs, even as they've been disrupted. Continue to let the souls be born into the kingdom through the great work that these ministries do. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pray for our friends. And now, Lord, we close our time of prayer, praying as Jesus taught his disciples to pray when he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our assurance of pardon, when we confess our sins, we confess them in the name of Jesus, we confess them because of the blood of Christ. The believer can have confidence that our sins are forgiven. From Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, we read this assurance of pardon. On that day there shall be a fountain opened for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and uncleanness. And that is the day that we celebrate today, the day that the blood flowed and the Savior died and the Savior rose. We can be cleansed because of it. Our confession of faith is drawn, is the Apostles' Creed. It's on the back of your bulletin, and you may know it by heart. I do too, but if I don't use my bulletin, I get messed up. So, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you happen to be following your bulletin, it says the next song is In Christ Alone. I'm going to save that one for last, and we're going to sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this chapter, Paul talks about the resurrection of the dead, and of course, the hope of the believer is the resurrection of Christ, and Paul is making the point that if Christ is not raised, then we have no hope, but he is raised. Hear what he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And praise the Lord, Christ has been raised from the dead, which is why we're here this morning to celebrate our King's resurrection. If you have, normally we would offer a moment to worship the Lord with your tithes and your offerings. If you want to send those to the church address on the website, you're welcome to do that. Some of you have been doing that. If you want to drop them off, that's also fine. I'm here usually during the week on Tuesday through Friday, or you can put them in the mailbox. It is important for us to continue to worship the Lord in our tithes and our offerings. It's part of being obedient believers to give to the Lord. Okay, we are now at the point where we are going to get into the Word of God for our sermon this morning. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. We're making our way slowly yet carefully through this chapter. Verses 3 through 14 are a treasure trove of truth and doctrine and the gospel. To blow through it too quickly would be a disservice to God's Word. And so we're walking slowly through this text because there's so much here that God has to show us. In recent weeks, we've looked at the blessings that flowed from God in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, verse 3 says. We have everything in Christ in the heavenly places, a picture of the believer in the here and now having everything, and yet a not yet aspect to it, that there's more coming. But in Christ, it's as if we're already in heaven because God's word says so. We're already there in one sense, even though we're waiting for that great day of consummation. Verse 4 told us that we have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we are elect if you are in Christ. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing that you did caused you to become a believer. There's no work that you've done. There's no good acts that you've been able to do. There's no baptism or anything else that you've ever done that's caused you to come to know Christ. The coming to know Jesus is by the very foreknowledge of God and the election of God. He called you into relationship with him, with the end result that we should be holy and blameless. We're sanctified now, and we will be sanctified on that day, the day we look forward to. Verse 5 told us that we were predestined for adoption as sons. Not only did God foreknow what he would do, he predestined our future, that we would be adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. That those who were enemies of God would be brought into the family and be made children of God. That we would share the place with Jesus. Not that we're divine, but that what is ours. That we are able to call him brother. And that in his humanity, we're united to him. All according to the purpose of God's will. This is what he wanted to do. All for the praise of his glorious grace. And it's all that we find ourselves blessed in the beloved Son of God. You notice that in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is central to salvation. The Father is here, the Son is here, and the Spirit is here. But when it comes to the work of salvation, we look to the Savior Jesus because he is the one who has done the work. And so on this Resurrection Sunday, I'm not going to preach a sermon about the resurrection. I'll state it again. Jesus came into this world. He lived a perfect life. He died, and he rose again on the third day. The Scriptures are absolutely true. And that is what we celebrate today. But in this portion of text we're going to be looking at, in verses 7 and 8, I want you to see what Christ did through the work that he did when he came and gave his life, when he suffered and died, and when he rose again. It wasn't just to show off. It wasn't just to show that he was God. It wasn't just to demonstrate that he was sinless. He was doing something. He was working for us. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. What did Christ do for us in the resurrection, in the suffering, in all that he did when he came to earth as a man? What was going on? Book of Ephesians tells us. Let me read to you verses 7 and 8, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into this text. God's word. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. We're all stopped. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. It is your word. It is the word that gives us life. It is the word that enlightens us. It's the word that changes us and challenges us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. Lord, although we are not together, your word is still powerful. It's one thing to lose the fellowship of the saints and the physical. But Lord, if we were to lose your word, we would be miserable. We would be without hope. Thank you that your word is not lost. It cannot be. We thank you for the ability to still hear it, to hear it proclaimed, to read it at our will, there are believers around the world who don't have the things that we have. And so we thank you for your word and the freedom that we have in it. I pray today for your anointing. Please let me speak your word carefully. I pray for all of us that are listening. I pray for each one of us. We need to hear the truth of the scriptures. Change us by it. Lord, show us who we are and what you've done and who you are. Lord, when we know these things, it changes us. Let the Holy Spirit apply the word to each heart as needed. I pray for your anointing to preach carefully, faithfully, and to give you glory. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to think of a jewel, specifically a diamond at this point. Think of a diamond. When you look at a diamond that's been cut, not a rough one, not a raw one, but a cut diamond, you take that diamond and you rotate it, you twist it, you turn it over and around. One of the things you notice about it is that it has many different facets to it. It has many different perspectives. If you look at it from the top, it looks a certain way. If you look at it from the bottom, it looks a certain way. If you tilt it, if you look at it from the side, and you look at all the different cuts that have been made in that diamond, you realize that all of those cuts are what make the diamond beautiful. They're what make it what it is. And there are different views of it. And so when we look at the redemption plan, the plan of redemption that God set forth from the beginning of time, it's like a diamond in that it has different facets to it. What Christ has done, the work that he has done in giving him his life and in rising from the dead, has different facets to it, different things that are connected, things that are related to us and to God and how we interact with each other. So today we're going to be looking at redemption. But before we get there, I need to give you a couple of those big old theological terms that we don't use often because they're hard to understand. They're even hard to say. One of the perspectives of the redeeming work of Christ is what's known as expiation. That's a big term that basically means a sacrifice or to cover. It means that something has been done to deal with guilt. So one thing that Christ did for us was offering himself as a sacrifice in our place, thinking of the Old Testament, the animal that would have gone, that you would have taken into the temple, that you would have cut the throat of that little creature and the blood would have flowed. That's the expiation. There's a covering. That blood pictures a covering of the sin. This is what one thing that Christ has done for us, offering himself as a sacrifice to cover our sins. Connected to expiation, another aspect of the work of Christ is propitiation. Another word that's big, but basically it means to assuage the guilt to the one who it's owed to. So to propitiate God is in the offering of the sacrifice, his wrath is satisfied. Justice is affirmed and it's brought to an end. The justice of God is applied. He has been propitiated by the sacrifice of Christ. So Christ offers himself to cover the sin. The blood covers it. The guilt is removed. God is appeased by the sacrifice of Christ, something we could not have done. And the end result of this, which is another aspect of the work of Christ, is the reconciliation that comes from this. The picture of guilt being removed, God being appeased, and the relationship between God and man being brought to unity again by the work of Christ. All of this is because of what Christ has done. We are reconciled to God, by what God has done for us. And then the last view, and there's other aspects to redemption, but the last view is the picture of redemption on the micro scale, also known as ransom. This is the picture of one who is in bondage, who is in slavery, being bought out of bondage by a ransom price. This also happened in the work of Christ. One of the things that he did, as we saw in the book of Matthew this morning in our Sunday school lesson, Jesus said that he came to ransom people. He came to offer his life as a sacrifice to ransom many people. And so ransom is what we're going to be looking at today. The concept of ransom. That's why I call the sermon the Great Ransom. Now, to give us an Old Testament picture, to give us a foundation, it's good to go back to the book of Exodus, to think through the Exodus itself. And that night when God told the people of Israel to put the blood on the doors, the Passover lamb that was offered, the death of the firstborn that occurred, this is a picture of ransom. The ransom price was the death of the firstborn. And for the Jewish people, for the Israelites there, they would have lost their sons as well had they not put the blood of the lamb on the lintel post of their door. And so the ransom price was blood. The death of the firstborn, and for the Israelites, the death of an innocent lamb. And what comes out of this is God's deliverance of his people from slavery, from bondage, from false gods, and all that was connected to their life in Egypt. And as they're brought out by the work of God and by the ransom that's paid, they're brought to the land of Canaan, to the land of promise. And so when we come to the New Testament, God, as he does so often in the Scriptures, he repeats things, he reiterates things, and so in Christ is the true Exodus. Remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah came, they talked about his Exodus that was coming. The work that he was about to do was reckoned as an Exodus, and as Christ died on that cross and he rose again from the dead, he brought his people out of slavery, to sin, to death, from the kingdom of darkness, not from Egypt, but from the kingdom of darkness, and ultimately brings them to the promised land, which is heaven. It's the same thing in the New Testament. It's the greater. The Exodus of the Old Testament is a picture. It's a small version of what God is doing on the grand scale through Christ. And that's the foundation of what we're looking at today. So I want to go back to verse 7. And I want us to notice what we're redeemed from. And then we're going to talk about what we're redeemed to, what we're ransomed from, and what we're ransomed to. The words are interchangeable because in the Greek they're translated either way. This is a ransom that's occurring. The first thing that it says here in verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We are redeemed from sin. I want to read to you, I think I brought these with me. Oh, maybe I didn't. We're redeemed from sin. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, I won't read it because I don't have it with me, tells us that we have been redeemed from sin by the blood of Christ. The sins have been washed by the blood of Christ. We've also been redeemed or ransomed from the punishment due to sin. What we deserved was death. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, tells us the wages of sin is death. And that one of the things that Jesus has ransomed us from is the punishment due to sin, the curse of the law. We've also been redeemed from the pollution due to sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and Titus chapter 3, verse 5, both tell us that the pollution of sin was upon us, and that we were covered in the pollution of sin. And when Christ ransomed us, that was washed away. We were redeemed from the pollution of sin. Romans chapter 6, in fact, the whole chapter of Romans 6, if you were to read it, and you should take a moment to read Romans 6 after this sermon. It's a great passage to be reminded what God has done for us. We've also been redeemed, ransomed from the enslavement to sin. We were bound by sin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 tells us that we were redeemed from the kingdom of darkness. We've seen this brought about in different places. We once lived in a place of darkness, the kingdom of sin, and that we were redeemed out of this kingdom by the blood of Christ. And finally, we've been redeemed from the separation and abandonment and rejection of God by Christ. I want to go back through these now for a moment and just think through how this has happened. Imagine yourself a prisoner, because this is what the Scriptures is pointing out to us. This word ransomed or redeemed specifically had in mind someone in the marketplace there in the ancient world who was in bondage. They were enslaved. They had chains on themselves. They belonged to somebody. They belonged to some owner. And someone comes along and says, I want that person, that right there. I want to buy them out of their bondage. I want to redeem them. I want to ransom them from their bondage. And that person would exchange money, and this slave would become their slave. Now, for the believer in Christ, this is not exactly the picture, although we found ourselves bound in sin. We found ourselves living in the kingdom of darkness. We found ourselves under the power of Satan. We found ourselves under the sentence of death, because that was our sentence. We were sinners. Romans tells us the wages of sin is death. We found ourselves in the bondage to Satan. We found ourselves under the punishment of death with a death sentence upon us. And God comes in the person of Christ by the work that he's done. And he buys us, not with money. 1 Peter tells us that we were not bought with silver and gold, but we were bought with the precious blood of Christ. Now, It is, I want to make this clear. We were not, we were bound by Satan because we were in his kingdom, but the debt was not owed to him. The debt was owed to God himself. And so in this picture of ransom, it's a very interesting thing that happens here. Ransom is paid by God to God. That is how it works. The same with expiation. The guilt is covered by God for God. With propitiation, God is appeased by God. With reconciliation, God is reconciled to God. All in Christ. And since in Christ, and we're connected to him, we get the benefit of this. So here we are in chains. We're bound in chains of sin. And Christ comes and gives his life for us. It's by the blood. You'll notice the ransom price is blood. It's the blood of Christ. We have redemption and where the sins are forgiven in Christ. The punishment that's due us, death, eternal death, is paid by Christ. The sins of us are pushed upon him. He becomes sin, as 1 Corinthians tells us. Remember where Christ was crucified. He was crucified outside the city gates. This is important because in the Old Testament, for something to be done outside the city gate indicated to be cut off, to be unclean. And so Christ becomes cut off in our place. It should have been us outside the city gates. It's him. The pollution of sin and what it does to us, Christ bears that as well. The enslavement that we were under, we were bound by the chains of sin. Christ breaks those chains and in him we're free. We're transferred into his kingdom from the kingdom of darkness. And the separation and abandonment and rejection that we were under, he felt and he experienced and bore it in fullness. Remember on the cross when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We will never know the fullness of that forsakenness. This is the total separation of God from a man as he feels the power and the depth and the loss of relation with God. This was ours, and if you're not in Christ, you experience it to a small degree. But in Christ, we've been redeemed from that separation and that abandonment and that rejection because of Christ. Now, that's the negative side, if you will. There's one aspect of what we were, where we came from, what we looked like. But this is the beauty of the redemption that God has worked through Christ. We're not only redeemed from things, we're redeemed to things. We're brought out of a place, out of a position, out of a situation, and we're brought to a new place and a new situation and a new position. First, we're redeemed to the promise of the Spirit. So for the one who's in Christ, one of the things that we receive as a believer in Jesus Christ the moment we are born again is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again into Christ, the power of God, the Spirit of God, who is a person, enters into us. We become filled with the Spirit. And so we have the promise of the Spirit, and the Spirit is life. He is the thumbprint of God. He is the seal of God upon us. He is the first foretaste of what it means to be in Christ. It's the promise of something to come. He is fullness. The Spirit himself is fullness. But there will be a day when we will be fully in God in the sense that we'll be in true connection with him, true relation to him. So the Redeemer is redeemed from not having the Spirit to having the promise of the Spirit. Remember back to Abraham and the promises that were made to him. Back in chapter 12 and 15 and 17 of Genesis, the promise of being a blessing, the promise of kings issuing from him, the promise of having descendants and an inheritance. That is only for those who are in Christ Jesus. The New Testament tells us that not everyone born of Abraham from the physical realm are his children, but only those who are of faith. And so the promises made to Abraham are the promises that we are redeemed into. What he was promised is what we get. The promises of Abraham have come to fulfillment, and we become part of it. We're redeemed to the blessings of Abraham. We become Christ's people. We become the people who are his body. Throughout all the passages of the New Testament, this is mentioned very often. We're not just disconnected from him. We become the very body of Christ. We're redeemed to becoming a holy nation, a priesthood of saints, kings in the kingdom of our Lord. We're redeemed to the kingdom of God. The fact that we go from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of life, to a kingdom of light. And we're redeemed from that death, we're redeemed to a spiritual life. Whereas once we were dead in the things of sin, we are now alive in Christ. We're alive because of what he has done for us. As I mentioned a moment ago, the redemption price was the blood of Christ. Verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses." And then notice, "according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us." This picture is that what God has done for us is not something small. It's not something that we should take lightly, although we so often do. It's not something that we should take and treat as if it's something that is common. Notice what the scripture says, that he has, the riches of his grace have been poured out upon us to the point that he has lavished them on us. It's a picture of overflow. It's a picture of more than enough. Think of that time when Jesus was having his feet washed and that bottle of nard was poured out, that expensive bottle of perfume, and she pours the whole thing on his feet. And it really irks Judas and some of the other disciples who think she's being wasteful. And Jesus says, no, no, she's preparing me for my burial. This is the same kind of picture here, that what God has done for us in Christ is not a small thing. It's not a common thing. He has lavished his grace upon us, poured it out, that you would look at it and think, that is way too much. God, you have done more to them and for them than you should have. This is the kind of love that Christ has worked for us. This is what the life, death, and resurrection of Christ has accomplished. The grace of God lavished and poured out upon us beyond what we expect, beyond what we deserve, and beyond what would be the norm. The redemption that has come to us in Christ. Now, I want to read Isaiah 53. I like to close with this one for an Easter sermon, because Isaiah 53 is a passage of Scripture that captures the reality of what Christ has done for us. It captures what God had planned for us. And again, the amazing thing is this was written 700 years before Christ would be born in human, before he became a man. I'm going to begin at chapter 52, verse 13. And I'm going to read this whole section because this is the beautiful word of God. It's about the suffering servant of God. Hear God's word. "Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and exalted, lifted up. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they seek, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom shall the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our sorrows and borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Thanks to God for what he has done for us. Thanks to God for the Savior Jesus Christ, who came and paid the price that we so richly deserve to pay. He did it out of his mere good pleasure and out of his grace. Today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because the resurrection of Christ is proof, as Corinthians tells us, that what God said is true, that the Son of God is the Son of God, that he is the sinless one, and that in him is life, and that all who turn to him have the hope of life. He is life itself. Praise the Lord for our Savior Jesus Christ. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the truth that is here. We thank you for the wonderful news we see here in the book of Ephesians, the ransom price that you paid for us. We were not worth it. Lord, it is truly a picture of your lavish grace that you would spend the blood of the Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God. His blood would be spilled for a people like us. Lord, we are not worthy. We know this. We recognize this. Yet we also recognize the fact that you called us, that you've called us in Christ, and therefore we have infinite worth because our worth is found in our Savior Jesus. It is not in ourselves, it is not in us that we hope. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ as the hope of mankind. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help the believers that are listening right now. Help us to know this. Help us to understand the depth of your love and the depth of the price that you paid for us. This is our position. We are loved of you, loved enough that the blood of the Lamb of God would be spilled for us. For those who may not know you, I pray that they would understand the grace of God that's being offered to them right this moment. The Lamb of God has died for you. He has covered your sin. He has made peace with God if you are in him. It is the blood of Christ that washes away sins. You have no hope in yourself. You cannot be good enough. It is not possible. God is good, and Christ has died, and Christ has risen again. Lord, I pray for your blessings upon all who hear your word, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with In Christ Alone.